obviously there's a bit of bias there. It's three Irishmen already. The only contentious one I have, and he's still Irish, is Paul O'Connell, great player. But to not pick Willie John McBride is a travesty.
House of Rugby Ireland, here on Joe. Game changed.
So a lot's happened this week in South Africa, but here on House of Rugby, powered by Vodafone, me and Shawnee have got it all covered. Or is it Ron Burgundy?
No, it's not Ron Burgundy this week. I think I've put that to bed. Although it was, me and Shaggy did have quite a laugh. He's probably a bit funnier than you, to be fair.
Classic, mate. Already putting the digs in there. But you know, everyone who hasn't watched it yet, have a look. He's some great commentary there, mate, from you.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. I'm glad you admit it now, at least, eh?
No, I always admit my mistakes.
Yeah. Well, what have you been up to this week? Watched any Olympics? Seen the Irish get a medal?
Yeah, I didn't. I haven't watched many of the Olympics because of training, and I've just been busy, to be fair. But
thing called catch up, you know, you can just watch it when you get you don't have to watch it live.
I don't
watch
that much TV, Goody. I don't have the time you boys have on your hands by looking at your social media. You're only training an hour a day, I think, at the minute, are you?
I think it's more that you've got every single finger and toe in every pie across London.
That is incorrect. But yeah, in fairness, the Irish Sevens boys, I know they finished 10th, but they've done unbelievably well to get there. First and foremost, it's been a big journey for them, so fair play to them. I think the whole of Ireland was screaming at them to do one better, but you know, getting there is an achievement for those boys after everything they've been through. And then the rowers, obviously, the four ladies have done incredibly well, bronze medal. We've a few boxers as well in the mix now for medals. So it's they're going well. It's a bit weird, though. There's not as much hype about it because of the whole COVID situation.
To be honest, I think it was Mako asked me. He goes, do you even know who the favourite is for the 100 metres? No clue, which is quite sad, really. I used to love athletics, you know, get so excited for that. And I couldn't tell you anything about athletics now or what's happened with the Olympics. It's just been drowned out by everyone, COVID.
Exactly. It's just been a bit all over the place. And the fact that we're busy with our own lives as well. So there's more important things to be talking about now this week, isn't there, Goody?
Yes, surely there is. Gats named his side earlier this week. Maka Vunipola starts and Roy Sutherland goes to the bench. Connor Murray's in for Ali Price and Chris Harris comes in with Elliot Daly going to the bench. What are your thoughts on those?
Yeah, I think Mako, I think, really put up his hand the last day, as we discussed last week. Has a lot of experience, will bring another element of physicality going forward. Hopefully, if we're going to, you know, be carrying at him a little bit more. And he just looked really solid and in good form last week. I think Connor is a good shout in terms of the control aspect and his experience and defensively. If the Springboks are going to come a lot harder this week, you want him there because he is physical. You know, when he dips in and out of line. And then you have probably one of our best defenders in Chris Harris, who's come in the 13 slot. And, you know, in fairness to him, he's been incredibly good on tour, any chance he's got, to be fair. And he was very dangerous the last day he played with the ball in his hand.
Are you happy with that? Because you'd spoken before about having maybe Bundy, Aki and Henshaw in there.
I just think, though, the way Robbie's playing, I was thinking about it afterwards. I just think the way Robbie is playing at 12, he's just so comfortable there now. And to move him out one and, I suppose, put Bundy in there, you know, it's not going to, it won't do much. But I think with the way the Lions might want to play this week, they just wanted a bit of a bit more athleticism, I'd say, and a bit leave Robbie there to firm up that kind of 10-12 channel if they come hard in there, and then you have another brilliant defender outside him.
Yeah, no, I think from my point of view, I think Chris Harris is brought in, he's going to hit the line. He's not the biggest centre, but we saw him play 12-13 during the tour. He's going to run hard, he's going to go into gaps, and I think what it allows Hogg to perhaps play out the back a bit more. So you've got the two centres constantly hitting lines. You've got Doohan, who can carry well. And off the back of that, it allows Bigger to sweep out and Hogg to play around at the back of players and create. So, look, I think it's a strong call. He's had a good tour and good luck to him. I think the Murray one I'm happy with. I think he's a phenomenal player. And there's a lot of talk about how he played this tour. But Ali Price played really well. I just think Conor Murray in the really big games, tight games, is just an exceptional player, and this will be a very tight first 50, 60 minutes. The Lions might even be behind, and that's where then Ali Price can come on and perhaps speed the game up in that last bit. But we do hear from Mac of Vunipolo a bit later as well. We had an interview with him this week, so we hear how enthusiastic he is about life, as you know, the snorer.
How to get info on Macko at any stage, even if you're rooming with him.
Yeah, I mean, rooming with him, mates with him, doesn't give you much, I tell you. But took us, well, you know, we both are big fans of Liam Williams. Obviously got a feel for him there.
Difficult one, because at the start of the tour, you're kind of saying he's a shoe-in somewhere. Just because his aerial dominance, two, just what he possesses in terms of he can attack, he can go from anywhere, he's as tough as nails, doesn't miss tackles, you know, doesn't make many mistakes, Liam Williams, and is this unbelievable competitor. So it's tough on him.
But it's not him to miss out on the bench even. You know?
Well, this is what I'm saying. It's like, it's incredible, because he probably would have had himself backed. He's a confident guy. He knows what he's doing, obviously. He would have been backing himself to be a starter, never mind being not even in the squad, you know, this time around. So it's probably incredibly frustrating for someone like him. But, you know, Gats is stuck with his back three. And I suppose then having Elliot on the bench just gives cover in all those areas in the centre and back three. So it's kind of he's missed out because basically he can't play centre and cover that area.
And we've also talked about how good Hamish Watson's been on this tour. Came on, thought he was excellent again. Big call to bring Faletau onto the bench. No Hamish Watson at all in the squad. Like, it's not my expertise back row, you know, a lot more than me, but his dynamism was fantastic, and for me it allowed Curry just to go out and just empty the tank for 60 minutes, hit every ruck, chase like mad, as we saw at the start of the second half, getting that sort of turnover, and then Hamish comes on.
It is an interesting one too, because if anything happens Curry early on or anything like that, it's obviously going to be Toby going to seven. Not his favourite position by all accounts, but he is that flexible that he can play all three. But I just thought the way Tom went about his business and then having Hamish come on the last day, it just gives that extra bit of bite and that bit of energy and that bit of doggedness in that seven position. But I think Toby will have a big point to prove as well, coming onto the bench. And I think he'll see him at his best when he comes on this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I think if we're chasing the game slightly, I think his ability in the wide channel is better than anyone else of all the forwards there. And I think we struggled to get the ball wide, but having him there, and Jack Honan was fantastic in the one or two opportunities he had there, but I think Faletau is so good out there, it could be a point of difference late on, perhaps when they tire the South Africans. If we can move it, you could see Faletau, like he did against New Zealand, that wide channel, just creating something.
Yeah, having both of them there, having Jack and himself still on the field at one time, I think is dangerous, because Jack hasn't put a foot wrong. And I know people, Toby is incredible in those wide channels. He's able to move with the ball, he's able to offload, he's incredibly quick for an eight. But again, he's a bit to do when he comes on the field, and he's a bit of a point to prove. No doubt he will, knowing Toby. It's like a silent assassin. He just goes about his business usually, you know, in every game he plays. But I think that'll be the change. If Curry is still going well near the end of the game, it'll probably be a straight swap for Toby and Jack. But interesting one. But I'm looking forward to seeing Jack. I think Jack Conan will be better than he was last week, this week. I think he'll be more confident. He'll have grown into that position now. And he'd be looking forward to this again.
Do you think that's the case for a couple of guys? Because, you know, Jack was sort of borderline. You know, people were a bit sort of sceptical maybe, or questioning his selection, along with sort of Karen Dickey, you know, Doohan and Hogg. You know, do you think these guys have, you know, be even better next week because of it? You think it's good for Gats to have stuck with them?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think so. Because he's just, when you have a good game like that, you go into Jack Horn's position now, for instance, after having a good game like that, and imagine being dropped out of the team. it's a bit of a dint to the conference. But, you know, to put in a shift like he did and to still be there, he's only going to grow in confidence now this week. And I'm sure he'll be relishing the challenge again, because he knows that Toby is in the squad now, and he knows that he'll have to perform really well, as the rest of the back rowers will. But I thought it was great balance in that second half of the game, the last day, and rightly stuck with this week.
Yeah, I think for me, Hogg, you keep with him 100%, and the one pass he threw across the 22, and my heart skipped a beat. I thought just got momentum back here. Just get it long.
Yeah.
Look, I was a bit surprised. Maybe Doohan van der Merwe, again, he had a great second half. You know, big advocate for Liam Williams, though. I thought he might come in just to really go for them even more in the aerial contest. And perhaps I thought Owens and Jamie George might be the two hookers. Not that I thought Kandicki was particularly bad, but it's a couple of lineouts. And I just think the relationship with Marrow and Jamie is so strong. To just get on top of them in the line-out set piece, as well as the kicking game, makes you so strong for me.
Yeah, I think maybe looking into Doohan still retaining his place, I think though we're going to try and get the ball into his hands a little bit more this week, regardless of what our tactics seem early on.
I think he's got to help himself a bit though there.
Like, yeah.
It may not be his natural game, and he might be, you know, I can't tell you what he's been told. He may be told to stay out there.
Yeah.
But there's times where I feel he can just come into midfield and
just
gets onto the game line, but takes three men out, and then we get quick ball and we kick to the other wing, we're playing on the front foot. I think that's partly the team structure needs to get him into the game, but also he needs to get himself into the game a bit.
Yeah, well, hopefully we just see a bit more of him with the ball in hand. That's what he's there for at the end of the day. So we'll know on Saturday. And the other things, looking back at lineouts and stuff, we probably called into a bit of traffic at times, and that's where you have that aerial contest, and a few throws don't go quite right, or they're not at the top of the jump and stuff. So I still think though, just with the physicality aspect of it and the way the boys went about their business in the second half, to stick with those two players, it's tough on Jamie because he's such an experienced operator and that relationship he has with Marrow. But I'm sure there's next week for a lot of lads as well.
For me, I felt they have to be brave in the line-out. The first line-out of the game, they went to the tail, to Courtney, and then they kicked off the back of it. But that bravery is the only way you can beat the South Africans. They wanted the Lions to win it at the front all day long, and we tried to play off the front of the line-out, and we did that one to Elliot when he got smashed. And if you play against South Africans and you win it at the front, it's impossible for a back line to attack. They bring a five-man, extremely aggressive defence, and actually you have to go, you know, we might lose one or two, but we've got to win middle or back ball, and then you can start playing at them. Otherwise, you're forced into just a maul kick, maul hit Henshaw into three men, and it becomes the game they want. So I feel like the Lions need to be brave in the line out and get to the middle, get to the back of the line out. And then even if it is a dummy maul and then playing off it into Conan, as we saw, or Henshaw from there to punch into the seam, I think that's the key for the Lions, is to just keep changing it up, having that sort of variety. So some off the top, some mauls, some dummy mauls. That's where they'll be at their best.
Okay, Goody. Well, enough of us waffling on. Let's chat to our buck on the ground in Schalkbritz. How are you, Sculler?
Hello, Sean. I'm fantastic, thank you. But freezing in Stellenbosch, but all good.
I was about to say, it does look a bit cold there, but there's one question on everyone's lips over here. Who is Jaco Johann? Come clean, tell us.
I've actually got no idea. Absolutely. It may be me. I don't know.
Are you sure? You're a bad liar, though. I've seen you play poker. You're terrible.
it's definitely someone close to camp. Has to be.
I actually, yesterday was the first thing I heard about this. And I guess it was someone, it should be someone in the group or I don't know. I actually don't know.
But would it surprise you if it was him, Rassi?
No, because I think he's extremely clever. And he's, I think, although he said it wasn't him, but he is very clever in how he how he does his work.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. There's he's really clever, and the Box have lost, not playing well, played well, and he takes all the pressure off them by having this sort of fake Twitter account, and the whole week has been built around that and not about the players. Or he's just a little bit out there and a bit mad and decides to have a load of Twitter accounts that he wants to be really nice on one and, you know, speak his real mind elsewhere.
Well, Goody, do you know any coach that is right in his mind?
No, they're all
batshit crazy, man. And the longer they coach, the crazier they get.
Yeah, they all forget what it's like to be a player week one. They're like great, great lads as players. And then week one, it's, you know, you're running extra laps. They're into you. They're giving you shit. Yeah, it's a nightmare. Like, mate, you were my mate last week. What's happened?
But to be fair, whoever did do the video, they must have sports code because it was chopped up properly and not too many lads have sports code. It was perfectly done.
Oh, I love it. Has it been much of a story in South Africa, or is it just over in the UK that it's a big story?
Probably in the UK, it's massive. But yeah, it's okay. We look at now the changes to the team. Why did we not play so well in the second half? Why was the changes made so quickly? More tactical things that we're looking at, not focusing on the what's it, Johan Rossi,
Scholar,
John Erasmus kind of Twitter feed.
What did you make about bringing on the boys, the bomb squad, at halftime? Did you think it was? Premature?
I couldn't understand why we would bring on that three beasts so early. I mean, the big thing about the bomb squad is bringing them on between minute 50 and 60, right? And then you've got Ergia and you had Franku and then France and all sort of tactically bringing them on. Now, you bring them at halftime, I thought the front row that started was phenomenal. Give them another 10 minutes after having a 15-minute break and then bring the boys on. So I think that was pre-planned. I think it didn't have the impact that we thought it would have. So that was quite an odd decision, but it's a decision that they made, and I think it didn't work out as they wanted.
And tactically, would you change anything else, or would you just go, right, this is our blueprint, this is what happened in the World Cup, and we're just going to go with more intensity, more aggression?
We didn't have enough training sessions to change anything, because the guys were training for 10 days before this in their rooms with 20-kilogram plates. So we always knew that the bench would be a massive impact for the guys to play 80 minutes at that high intensity with the up and in defense. It's hard to keep that intensity and physicality. So we always thought, okay, fine, if we can bring the bomb squad on and then lead at halftime. I mean, fair play to the Lions. They came out halftime firing with a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and just played better rugby in the second half.
Scholar, do you think then it'll be the similar tactics again then from the Springboks? Or are they going to play a little bit more, as in like get the ball to Colby's hands and into some of their backs and play another little bit of a running game?
Well, I hope so, Sean. I mean, we couldn't dominate from our pack perspective. You started mauling us and we couldn't get any return from the scrums or the mauls. And that puts our back three under pressure. And hopefully we'll take the initiative. Just some tactical thing that I saw when I was there was sometimes the Lions had 3 to 4 players in the backfield and we still kicked it. So hopefully and I said this previously, I said during the series, we're going to get better as the series gets along, because we didn't have enough prep going into this. So hopefully this weekend they'll be a bit sharper, a bit more match fit, and take the opportunities and run a bit more.
So question, I heard our friend Scott Berger and your friend John De Villiers speaking about how they were a bit unsure about the leaders in the group. You know, the day we take Dwayne out, you know, big leaders in the group, you know, obviously John and Sculler were big people at personalities, and they've been gone a while now, but do you think this group has the ability to adapt, the South Africans, or do you think they had that plan to kick, and even if the Lions put 4, 5, 6 men in the backfield, they were just going to stick to that?
No, I do think there's a good leadership group. I do think there's a link missing on the pitch from a Dwayne perspective, because you've always got a talisman that you look at when things go wrong or you need some reassurance, and he's been there, he's seen everything, he's played around the world. Now it's someone else to put their hand up, and I think they do have the group to do this, the leadership to take ownership. And sometimes under pressure, you learn from the mistakes you make, and hopefully they'll learn quickly.
So give us a quick prediction for the game. Obviously, South Africa lost the first game of the World Cup series, World Cup, and came back and won. What's your prediction for this week? Are they going to have a comeback? Are they going to play better?
Goody, I looked at the pitch and it's a bit wet this week in Cape Town. And we normally don't play so well in Cape Town. It's a low-scoring game. So I would say about 5 or 6 difference, 21-16 or something around there. I don't think it's going to be as high-scoring. It's a soccer pitch. The pitch tore up quite a bit. Mm.
Well, it's great to see you freezing there in South Africa with your bomber jacket on. But, my friend, great to see you. We wish you well. I'm sure you'll be pitch side and have a good time, but we're obviously rooting for the Lions. Take care, mate.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for talking to me. Bye.
So it's always good to hear from Skulk Brits, our Bok on the ground. If you haven't already, check out his videos on Rugby Joe or any other social channels he is posting on. Talk to us about the Vodafone branded content, mate.
No, this is a bit I messed up last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, do you want the script?
Have it here, actually. Have it here. Do you want me to take this?
Go on, please. Down the camera lens.
Well, during the course of the series, subscribers to the official British and Irish Lions app powered by Vodafone are voting for the player of the series. So after Saturday night, the rankings looked like this. In first place, Hamish Watson. Second, Duan van der Merwe. Third, Maro Toje. 4, Josh Adams. And in fifth, Courtney Laws. So head to the British and Irish Lions app powered by Vodafone to cast your vote if you haven't done so already. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I say I'm proud of you, but no, I'm not amazing at it myself.
No Lions XV this week.
I love Lamp.
Oh no, brown cow.
But also, on the midweek shows, we pick our greatest ever Lions 15 in the professional era. So obviously, 97 onwards. Last week, you and Shaggy picked the front five. Now, obviously, there's a bit of bias there. It's 3 Irishmen already. The only contentious one I have, and he's still Irish, is Paul O'Connell, great player. But to not pick Willie John McBride is a travesty. Well, it's a travesty, my friend.
It was more Shaggy picked him now, to be fair.
And I know he's not in the modern era, but he could have played in the modern era.
Yeah, but Shaggy, I kind of went with him myself, but Shaggy overruled me. Elders overruled me.
I disagree. I watched the show and you pushed for Paulie.
I didn't.
It's them all. Paulie, it's them all.
That's what he used to roar the whole time in training.
Yeah, well, I bet you did. So anyways, we're on to the back row and halfbacks. I'll let you start. Do you want to pick your 6, 7, 8 together as a combination and wait for it? But I know where you're going with this. Or would you like to go sixes first? Because I'll obviously know from that who you pick a 6 and an 8, how you're positioning yourself here. Because we spoke off air and Shawnee is in absolutely no doubt that he should be the first name of that back row.
Absolutely no doubt.
You were giving me stats before.
I'm backing
myself. How many turnovers?
Here.
Yeah. You know, never lost a tour, whatever it was.
Listen,
go on, put your case forward then quickly.
You have to.
In what position are you playing?
There's serious competition here. We'll go through them first. We'll go through the 6, 7, and 8. So,
tell us why you should be picked first.
No.
No, it's
we'll
about
go,
you, mate.
We'll,
you want to make it about
we'll go
you.
Go through the 6, 7, and 8.
We've picked.
Listen here, boss. Calm down now a little bit. Settle again. And we'll go through everyone.
Look how excited you are.
So in the 6th position, we have Lawrence Dallaglio, Sam Warburton, Tom Croft, or Martin Curry.
Just to be clear, these are just ones that we've picked out who we feel, you know, this isn't just, you know, anyone else, it's us at the moment.
Yeah, this is what we've thought. In the 7th position, we have Richard Hill, myself, and Sam Warburton. So Sam can't play 2 positions, so that leaves myself and Richard Hill.
You did the right
thing. In the 8th position, we have Toby Faletau, Scott Quinnell, Martin Curry, and Jimmy Heaslip.
So we'd be interested to hear what people think at home as well. But for me, I'll let you have your moment in a minute.
Go on.
Very, very tough in terms of, personally, I would pick Richard Hill at 7 because he won in 97, played in 2001 and was exceptional first test, got knocked out, he was so good in the second, and I believe he toured in 2005.
Do you remember that dinner I asked you to come for with me?
Come for? What?
Yeah, I was going to bring you for dinner some night.
I don't remember if you ever invited me to dinner.
I'm taking it back right
now. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I might be nice in a minute. 6, Dallaglio got injured in 2001. He was brilliant in South Africa. But just because it's you, Shawnee, I'll put... you're not even down in 6. Did you play 6 for Lions ever?
No.
Always seven. I'll put Sam Warburton at six.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Sam
has to be there.
Sam at six.
But at eight, I don't think any of them stand out, so I would actually move it around and play you at eight.
You're only being nice now, you see.
I am, yeah.
You can't go back on what you've just said.
Well, yeah, if Faletau had played these tests, he'd be my number one. Only because Scott Cornell was great, but one tour. Corey played six and a bit of eight in 2008. Heaslip, great in... He played in 2009, didn't he?
Yeah, and then 13 as well.
13 played first test. So I don't think anyone's nailed down there, so I'd put you in there for your ball carrying. And it means you can be a bit lazier.
I just have to say...
you know, so there you are. I've got Richard Hill, Sam Warburton, and Sean O'Brien at eight, which has absolutely no balance, no lineup options, but... God, they're going to work hard and they're going to run across the ground.
I'm just going to go with my two fellow compatriots in the last tour. So I'm going to say Sam at six, myself at seven, and Toby at eight. Just to make it simple. And end of discussion.
Fine, there we are.
End of discussion.
So 9 and 10.
You
have to put the list out.
Because
it might be embarrassing for everyone to think, why have you missed out?
We've Conor Murray, Matt Dawson, Mike Phillips, or Rob Howley. Oh, yeah. And at number 10, we have Johnny Wilkinson, Johnny Sexton, Gregor Townsend, and Stephen Jones.
Well, I went first in the back row, so I'll let you go in the 9 and 10s.
Oh, I think Rob Howley, obviously, years ago, looking back at like living with the Lions and stuff, was unbelievable. Mike Phillips is a class player, so physical, was brilliant in 09. He will tell you himself that he's the best in the world.
Yeah,
100%.
He's a Kevin Peterson figure, isn't he?
He's absolutely hilarious.
He was brilliant in 2009.
I'm not sure about Matt Dawson in with those three boys. To be fair,
that one try, really.
And then Moore has been, you know, his third tour now. I'd probably have to go on the balance of everything. I'd probably go. Oh, it's a tough one. It's between Filsy and Moore. To be fair,
I'll make it easy. I'm going to go Murray.
Yeah.
Because I saw a stat this week, he's the only one of the few or 10 players who have beaten all three nations.
Yeah, for that alone, actually, yes. Connor has done more in the game, I suppose, in terms of Lions than the rest of them.
And then this is purely 10, on Lions.
And then at 10, you have the legend that is Johnny Wilkinson. You've Johnny Sexton, Gregor Townsend, Stephen Jones. I am going to just go with Sexton here because
you trashed his kitchen.
Yeah, I trashed his kitchen, but I've never had the pleasure of playing obviously with any of the other lads. Played against him, all right. Played against Stephen Jones, not Johnny though. But just the way he went about his business in 13 and the way he led the team and 17, he was just incredible. And he's anytime he's played in those test games, he's performed.
Yeah, I agree. I think, Johnny's obviously phenomenal, but 2001, the series got away. It was great. 2005 was a struggle. Played 12 a bit. Stephen Jones, great player, obviously. Gregor, 97. But for me, Sexton having won in Australia and then getting a draw in New Zealand and playing all six of those tests, I think is a great record. So him and Murray would be my 9 and 10.
It's a nice 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 combination, to be fair.
Yeah, we're trying to move the ball wide, obviously, with my back row, as I said. I think special mention Delalio, Croft, very close. And then if Shawnee wasn't here, yeah. I probably would have picked.
Prefer you pick anyone in those lists.
They're all brilliant.
You'd be confident. Yeah.
They're all brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's a shame you can't reproduce that form these days. The signing London Irish wanted just never has, you know, come to fruition for them, have they? Has it?
No, it hasn't. But thankfully, Sarri's got you away for a year. And got you out of salary cap. Well, how'd it got you back
in? But I've come back there.
Yeah, you're back in now. Yeah. Very good agent. Well done.
Yeah. Well done. I did pat him on the back. So there's our 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Next week we'll be doing the centres and wingers. You managed to get three Irish players in there, Shawnee. Happy with that?
Yeah, I think it's reasonably fair.
So three in the front five, three in the middle five, three in the back five, no doubt. But back to 2021. We're lucky enough, I think it's lucky, to get an interview with Mako. It's hard enough to get any words out of him when you're in a room with him, let alone when you're mates with him. So here's my best attempt to try and get him to talk about the Lions. But I think I deserve a Pulitzer Prize for this one. But here he is, answering a few questions about the Springboks and the Lions.
To beat Tarka was no easy task. But that's done now. I think the thing now that I'm wary of most is not just personally, but as a team, that we start forgetting what it took to beat them and what we needed to do. So we start believing in all the hype and forgetting the hard work that needs to be done before that. We know that this weekend's going to be even bigger. They're obviously going to come at us with everything. We don't expect anything less, to be honest. So it's going to be a hell of a game. It's going to be a arm wrestle just like last week was, but probably with even more intensity.
Yeah, I think that's... I mean, I don't suspect you'll be surprised if they do anything. You'd be surprised if they do much different, but they'll just come with a huge intensity, aggression, emotion, just to try and physically dominate you guys. I'm sure is that something you've talked about as a group quite a bit, or you probably will going into the week?
Yeah, we obviously, we know, as I said, that they're wounded at the minute, and they'll be coming to us with everything they got. And to be fair, we're going to obviously prep as well as we can in what they can do, but the main focus for us is just to think, work on things we need to. We know that the performance last week wasn't anywhere near what we can do fully yet, so there's still so much more to grow, and which is exciting. Hopefully we can do that in training, in the preparation that come weekend, and we can go out there and put in a performance that's better than last week, maybe.
And it was one thing I was slightly disappointed about. I thought we'd taught you better at Sarries, you know, all these years, you know, to be reckless and dangerous. You know, I'm sure your parents give you a clip around the ear for it, but how dare you help up the patron saint of Chesney and Colby? I mean, what were you thinking, man? It's outrageous.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mentioned it earlier in an interview. They asked me about it, and yeah, heat of the moment thing. I just reacted and didn't really think too much. And it is what it is now. And like, people have said some stuff, but can't really stop them saying stuff. But
nah, mate.
Too bad, to be honest. But he seemed, as I said earlier, he seemed to be all right playing the game after. So
yeah, I think that's the least of the worries for them. But on another note, I've also known you and played with you for 10 years, and I have never, ever seen you try and speed the game up in my life. you spend your life putting your contact lens in, slowing the game down while we're twiddling our thumbs because you're knackered. And yet here's you trying to up the tempo. I was like, what's happened to Mako?
Hey, the coaches wanted me to up the tempo when I came on, so I do what they say. So. Plus, I was like 2 minutes into when I came on. It was fresh-ish anyway, fresh-ish.
It's obviously your third tour now with the Lions. Obviously, a lot's different on this one, but just try and tell us like how different it is, how tough it is, you know, not being able to do much, go out much, you know, not see your family for so long.
The family bit's probably the hardest thing, but then you don't see your family anyway when you're on tour. You probably see them after the game. That'll probably be the only thing that they visit you out there in the country, but apart from that, yeah, it's been in a hotel, COVID bubble and all. You end up spending more time with the boys anyway, so that's probably what this has probably brought us closer together as a group, to be honest. Means that you have to socialise more with people you don't like. Tom Curry, burn a lot, to be fair, but nah, I'm only messing. He's a good boy, too. But it is what it is. Like, the other teams are doing the same as well, but the sacrifice you have to make to want to be involved in these big games. So everyone is doing the same thing, and that's probably why it's made it enjoyable, to be honest. Like, just being in and around people here, some good people around, which is what makes the tour, to be honest.
Any particular highlights off the field? I mean, obviously not your golf. Anyone who's seen the clip on Mako or Toby Falatau's Instagram handles, you'll see Mako on the 17th tee coming down, or 18th tee, and he completely misses the ball. But you know, maybe you and Saka can have a little golf off, because he also misses the ball when he plays golf. So
I was a bit fatigued, to be fair. Like, I haven't really, don't really play golf. And if you saw my tee off on the first hole, you would have seen, you would have thought I was class, to be honest. But it went downhill from there.
Who were you sort of, who was your idol there? Was it Tony Finau?
Tony Finau's my cousin, you know.
Is this Tom and cousins or actual cousins?
Tom and cousins, yeah.
So he lives in a couple. He lives a couple of villages down, and you once spoke to him.
No, not even that. Maybe his uncles, dog walkers, my mates are. That's probably how close we are.
Well, maybe you can, get onto him and get some lessons. But any other highlights apart from golf, which you've got better at, clearly?
Another highlight is we played a FIFA tournament in Jersey and I got to the final. Although Josh Adams absolutely killed me, which really? my pride is still dented with that. So
I'll put out to the listeners and everything here, Maka Bunipola is one of the best FIFA players I've ever come across. He committed a lot of his early years to FIFA, a lot. But as a family man, it's been harder, but he still manages to get some hours in. And I had down here, what else have you been doing in your spare time? And I was going to guess that snoring a lot and playing FIFA were the two things I had down.
Yep. There's no wrong, to be fair. Although I've been watching some like Netflix series, to be honest. Like my missus was making me watch Working Mums at a minute.
Is that any good?
It is all right, to be fair. And it's based around like obviously mums and working and stuff. So it's a little bit like empowering to women series, and she's getting a lot of ideas off it, which is not helping me a bit.
Do you mean you're going to spend a bit more time looking after the kids?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's a good thing for you, mate. Part of your growth. And I heard, is Jamie on the social committee? Is he?
Of course he is.
Yeah. Is he on his own? Insane.
No, but yes, his partner in crime is next to him.
Oh, okay. So those two having a good laugh, him and Elliot.
Yeah. They're basically, they'll be like, oh, boys, there's golf available here. And they book off the best tee time. So they always like book up the best time to go out there for themselves first.
Yeah. Classic. And then when something good coffee comes, they'll be the first up to make sure they get it as well.
No, to be fair, they've been very good at making coffee for the boys.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, we've had a few coffee mornings. Ty Burns baked a few cookies for the boys as well. Nice. He's quite a good baker. Yeah. I mean, like, the bowl is what it is, but the boys are doing their best to make it as entertaining as possible.
You know, they say, mate, you never trust a thin chef, and he looks in quite good shape, Ty Burns, which is surprising. You know?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that is true. But I'm yet to try one of his cookies, so I'll let you know how he is.
Ah, you're such an athlete, Mac. I've always said that about you. did I hear right that Usain Bolt sent a good luck message? Was it to you? I heard he was asking why your ears look like bacon pieces, or
it wasn't like anything like that. But yeah, so the Bobby Cup, like big part of the Lions' history since I've been involved. Anyway, he announced the winner on that.
Did he?
Pretty awesome. He came up and was like, "Whoa."
He is a cool man, let's be honest. Fastest man on the planet, and just his lifestyle looks ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, you've met some pretty famous faces, though, haven't you? I mean, you've had Daniel Craig in the changing room. You've now got Usain Bolt. Anyone else comes to mind that you liked?
Prince Harry. Yeah. Prince Harry's come to the changing room a few times. No. But not on top of my head. Like, Daniel Craig was cool. We didn't expect that, and he just walked in. We're like, oh, my God. James Bond's here.
I say, you don't get excited by much, mate, but Usain Bolt and Daniel Craig, there's two people, fair play. I'm jealous of. Well, look, mate, I can see that my time is probably up, and I'll let you get back to a feed or some FIFA. Honestly, I just want to wish you all the best. Obviously, everyone here is behind you, and whatever you do, don't touch Colby this weekend, but make sure you have a stormer. That's all I say to that.
Cheers, mate.
Great to hear from Mako. It's honestly like trying to get water out of a stone. And I'm his mate, I think. But Shawnee, there are a handful of players that have been involved in Lions wins over Australia, New Zealand and South Africa. I think 10 in history. Now, we've mentioned Connor and Mako. And obviously Alan Wynn is an easy one. Can you name any of the others?
Oh, that is a tough one. Who else is there?
There's a couple. There's one Irishman.
It's
three English and two Welsh, I can see at the moment, and one other.
Paul O'Connell?
No. Didn't win a Test series.
Test series.
No, sorry, game. Game, did win a game. I got that wrong.
You did get that wrong.
Say that again, mate. Just say Paul O'Connell again, please.
Paul O'Connell.
No, he's not on the list. Very close. Think of there's two of the guys you picked in your front five is a clue. It's a great clue.
I forget who I picked in the front five.
Right, come on, mate. Help me out.
In the front five, Keith Wood.
No. They're both English. this is painful.
I have it.
Okay.
Jason Leonard.
Yes.
Martin Johnson.
Yes. Welshman, back in the day.
Neil Jenkins.
No, played in 97, though.
The winger, was he?
Yep.
Yian Evans.
Yes, it is. One Irishman, if you can get it. There's others, but I can't go through the whole list.
Willie John.
No. Pretty Irish name. I guess. Oh, I don't even know when he played.
Go on, who is it?
70s. Tony O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah, Sir Tony O'Reilly.
Sir Tony, is it? 70s, 80s, yeah. 60s?
That's way before my time, in fairness.
It's way before me as well, mate.
I like rugby, but I'm not a complete nerd about it.
We've established that. You know, when you're at home, you can't watch.
Is this a quiz? Is this a quiz show now? Is it all of a sudden?
We could go to question of sport. You know.
Yeah. Well, that,
I don't think we're getting
the gig. Prepare for.
Yeah. We.
Anyway, moving on, Goody. Moving on. Moving on,
mate.
Moving on.
Well, here we go. Well, that's all we've got time for this week before me and Shaunie have a Barney. But thanks for watching or listening to the House of Rugby powered by Vodafone. For me and Shaunie, we'll see you next week. Cheers.
House of Rugby Ireland here on Joe. Game changed.